consisting of 559 units with retail commercial uses at grade, and 20 back-to-back townhouses, 2114, 2124, and 2130 here in Ontario, and 2095, 2107, 2113, 2121 Grange Drive, west side of here in Ontario, north of Harbour Road. File OZ12003W7. The staff recommendation that the report dated October 30, 2012, from the Commissioner of Planning and Building regarding the applications to amend the official plan from office, special site, Cooksville District, and residential low density 1, special site 11, Cooksville District, residential high density 2, special site, and to change the zoning from old office and R1 attached dwellings to RA5 exception apartment dwellings to permit two apartment buildings, 36 stories to 22 stories, consisting of 559 units to retail commercial uses at grade, with 20 back-to-back townhouses on the file OZ12003W7 Gordon Woods Development Limited, 2114, 2124, 2130 here in Ontario, 2095, 2107, 2113, and 2121 Grange Drive, west side of here in Ontario, north of Harbour, BC, for information. Under the Planning Act, RSO 1990, CD 13, as amended, and with respect to Bill 51 applications, 1. If a person or public body does not make oral submissions at a public meeting or make written submissions to the City of Mississauga before the bylaws pass, the person or public body is not entitled to appeal the decision of the City of Mississauga for the Ontario Municipal Board. 2. If a person or public body does not make oral submissions at a public meeting or make written submissions to the City of Mississauga before the bylaws pass, the person or public body may not be added as a party to the hearing of an appeal before the Ontario Municipal Board, unless in the opinion of the board there are reasonable grounds to do so. If you are here concerning this matter, please raise your hand other than the applicant.
Downtown. which essentially creates a transportation corridor along here Ontario Street. And to support that growth and intensification, Metrolinx was charged with the creation of a transit network that connects these various growth centers. And here Ontario identified as a top priority by Metrolinx for the creation of an LRT corridor along here Ontario that really connects Port Credit all the way up to Brampton. And a bunch of guiding principles for LRT, which speak to transit-oriented development, such as this image shown in the LRT plan for Mississauga for transit-oriented development along the LRT corridor. As you know, LRT supports this intensification by creating the ability to move much larger numbers of people, up to 2 times more people, through the corridor in the same amount of time. And I believe the success of LRT will be predicated on intensification along this corridor. The site that we're here to speak about today is, and I'm sorry this slide is kind of turned sideways, north is really to the right, and so it's on the west side of here Ontario, just north of Harborne, and you can see that one of the proposed LRT platforms is just outside the subject site. LRT, as you know, is in the preliminary design stages right now, and has been in the news quite a bit of late. So to summarize, the background for the development here is the growth plan, the intensification corridor, and the implementation of LRT along here in Ontario. And really, our approach is going to respond to that growth plan and at the same time, the Mississauga official plan. So just delving a little deeper into the site. The site, as I indicated, is north of our own west of here Ontario, in the hospital precinct. As you know, the Trillium Hospital campus is at the northwest corner of this image here. The purple line that you see here, the purple line that you see here actually straddles the site. That purple line is the line that I showed as the intensification corridor and the downtown area identified in the official plan. And it really straddles the site in such a way that the east half of the site is within the high density zone and the west half is in the lower density zone. East of your Ontario, the residential character is dominated by 12 to 20 plus story, 26 story slab residential developments, which very much take the tower and park form approach that was predominant in the 50s and 60s. In addition to that, there are a few office buildings on the east side of your Ontario. On the west side, unions, commercial, some higher density residential along Bronte College, and then the lower density on Grange Drive. The context, the immediate context of Grange Drive, which is west of the site, is seen in these three slides here, with the older developments characterized by D-class, single-family homes, setback from the street front, absence of sidewalk, and more of a rural edge that characterized the west side of Grange Drive and the older developments on the east side. More recent developments on the east side of Grange Drive are townhouse form just south of the subject site. And these are a departure from the rural edge, dominated by these two-car 36 and 22 stories with a six-story podium fronting on your Ontario. The townhouses are proposed on Grange, aligned with the townhouse developments to the south. Two blocks of 10 townhouses, which are interrupted by an east-west pedestrian mid-block connection that will be accessible 24/7, not just for the development of all the residents on Grange Drive, and provide a very quick connection to transit and to the future LRT platform, which is in very close proximity to the site. The ground floor on your Ontario is set back significantly 5 meters to facilitate an animated public ground, and the frontage is dominated by retail uses, except for the lobby that also extends out to New Ontario. At the center of this development is a courtyard that becomes the central organizer, facilitating both vehicular and pedestrian movement through the site. 15 dedicated retail visitors' parking spaces here, and an additional 37 residential parking spaces for visitors at grade. The east-west pedestrian mid-block connection. And then we have the townhouses fronting on Grange, which are back-to-back. And the townhouses facing the courtyard are actually 20 feet wide, standard townhouse bay. But the ones facing Grange are being widened to 30 feet, responding more to that's the same family. Same kind of size and proportion as that 30-foot bay there. Again, eliminating the sidewalk. What's significant about the townhouses is that the parking has been consolidated below grade. So really there is an absence of driveways and an absence of garage doors along Grange Drive, which facilitates the continuation of the rural edge that is lost with the townhouse development to the south. There is a transportation study that's been completed and is under review by staff. Vehicular circulation currently contemplates full movement in and out of the site out of a single point on your Ontario Street, and that's pre-LRT. Post-LRT, it's anticipated that there will be right in, right out access only. Moving into the architectural characteristics, this is an image of the townhouses on Grange Drive. You can see that in contrast to the townhouses we saw earlier, there's an absence of garage doors, absence of driveways, restoration of the rural edge along the street here. High quality materials, masonry and stone, modulated in different heights, creating terraces and balconies that really put eyes on the street, and allow enough of a setback to facilitate landscaping in the front yards. Each of these blocks is broken by the east-west mid-block pedestrian connection that will remain open 24/7. The landscaping is really oriented towards creating a pedestrian-friendly zone. The vehicular ramp has been tucked away into the back corner here, allowing for maximum queuing within the site during peak hours. And the courtyard is paved and not asphalted, so that it really has the feeling of this is a section that illustrates the public ground on Grange Drive with the rural edge, the double row of trees, setbacks, the rural condition there is 20 feet wide to the property line, and a further 6.5 meter setback to the townhouses simplify the half-meter sidewalk zone in the right-of-way with an apron, a curved apron, continuous trench or tree planting with a seed wall that integrates lighting, a generous sidewalk condition here, and the ability to create outdoor patios associated with retail potential cafes on here, Ontario, with canopies, lighting, and signage integrated into that street frontage. The podium condition on here, Ontario, is articulated with a double story, a double height retail base, quite tall, 6 meters there, with canopies and an articulation of brick and glass fronting the retail storefronts here. The upper floors are basically designed as balcony loggias with this white frame that provides some separation and privacy from all the movement, acoustic separation as well for the residents in the podium on New Ontario. And then the tower rises above that. The entry into the courtyard is punctuated by this large triple story high entryway that also houses the lobby, which is a glass box that would be illuminated at night. And with the concierge seated there 24 hours just behind that glass wall, and the illumination will contribute to safety and eyes on the street for this stretch of your Ontario. What you see in the background is the sculpture court that will draw people into the development and very much sort of pedestrian-friendly landscape with hard and soft landscape areas, seating areas, and then north-south pedestrian connection. The roof of the podium is where the indoor and outdoor amenities for the condominium will be located at the 7th floor. So the roof of the podium would be landscaped and designed as an outdoor amenity space directly adjacent to indoor amenity spaces in the two towers, which would be linked. The towers themselves have been staggered. These are relatively small floor plates, as well as the guidelines go. They are less than 6,500 square feet, the standard being closer to 8,000 square foot plates. They are 25 meters apart. The setback 7.5 meters from each of the property lines. And comparing them to the big slab forms, which created these great big walls on the street and have very slow-moving shadows, these are relatively slender point towers, 650 square meter footprints, which would have very fast-moving shadows. The towers have been articulated with a sloped east and west facade, respectively, for the north and south tower, which would give them a quite a distinctive build form, recognizable build form, capped by a canopy at the very top. And we really viewed this as a gateway site into the downtown from the southern end of your Ontario, and we're interested in creating a building that would become a very recognizable architectural statement at this end of Hugh, Ontario. In summary, the approach has really been to respond to the growth plan, the official plan, to address the dual characteristics of the site, where partially it's in a high-density zone and partially in a low-density zone. Create an architectural element that's recognizable, that makes a gateway statement into the downtown from the southern end. Opportunities for lighting up the canopy at night would make it a bit of a beacon at this prominent intersection at the south end of Ontario. And also importantly, it provides transit-oriented pedestrian
Thank you. I just want to make it clear to the audience that if you do not wish to make an oral submission at today's meeting, but wish to make a written submission, you may choose to write a letter addressed to the Mrs. Augustine Council, care of the office of the city clerk, or written submission forms are available on the table beside the doors on the way out and can be placed in the box on the table beside the door before you leave. If you wish to be notified of future meetings, you must complete and submit the request for further notification. Again, located on the table beside the door. The form must be placed in the box on the table beside the door before you leave. And this is also for verification. All the representations are made. The Planning and Development Committee will consider the matter and make a recommendation upon its conclusion. Thank you for your presentation. The first speaker, or first question from the council is the council meeting.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I should say at the outset, much of my comments have really simplified this and getting this as quickly as possible. Because I'm sure this is absolutely no surprise to anybody. I'm really opposed to this thing. My community thinks it's somewhere between the Twilight Zone for now and the questions. Just the presentation was. Just send it to the council so we can vote it down. I would, because I can't fathom any way supporting it around the stable. However, with respect to the applicant, to my community, there is a process that we have to follow. So I'm just going to take 90 seconds in order to speak to the process. We're here to receive the community's comments. I would like to speak on the community's behalf. I know the regular president wrote and others. So these really are my comments, questions to the applicant and to the staff to come back and follow up. I want the community to know I will be holding a public meeting on the follow-up report. That will be advancing the next time it comes to planning and development, and I will get another meeting before it comes back to council. We have a lot of work to do. But in terms of killing this thing off real quick, these are my comments to staff, and this is why I'm only going to waste a lot of time on this. This is in non-conformity with our new official plan. This is in non-conformity with our new secondary plan. So the documents, the planning staff that brought forward to us, this is my question for the planning, in the last 18 months, they're fresh. So you can't come close to the buildings. So I'm pretty sure staff's got to come back and say nothing's really changed in 18 months. I think the condo market's changed a bit, but we'll be done with that. In terms of the complete incompatibility of the character area, this is the buck that I need with all of you, and I want staff to substantiate. In terms of density, height, and mass. When you consider there are only 250 homes in the Gordon Woods, let me tell you what this is. You see, I use a lot of funny examples at times, my council colleagues. As apples are to apples, this application, the 579 units in the Gordon Woods, is like the city of Mississauga getting an application for 1.5 million new people on our population of 750,000. It will triple the population of the Gordon Woods on 2.5 acres of land. Council's last pronouncements on the Gordon Woods, I know the staff speak to this in the report, are two applications that we fought tooth and nail and took both to the OMB and won both times on the Ross property and on the Fidel property for a single detached lot. Fought and won both times. And now you have 570 before you. It's LRT reliant. The problem is the LRT is non-existent. But staff can speak to that accordingly. So it's not just premature in that regard. We've got an asset that isn't even finding. But when it comes forward, it might be something we can speak to. I think there's some site-specific transportation concerns. I won't elaborate, but I don't want the staff to have to deal with that. But the point that I would raise, again, going back to the planners after I report, of course, it seems to me that in terms of the density of development applications that we receive, the, maybe I'll call it planning, density massing, hierarchy or protocol in the city, we've always recognized the downtown core as the main, you know, this is my board, by the way, I have put this building anywhere in my downtown. In fact, I wish you bought the lands in and around the Novotel that had 20 stories and built this to complement the Maryland on the other side of the road, because architecture is stunning. And boy, it will fit there. So I know something in terms of the planning hierarchy, the planning documents. opportunity a couple weeks ago to drive my son to Oldman Sound. And so it's going to be called Here, Ontario, where it's a connects to Huron, Ontario. Pretty sure I'm right. After the Mariner, this would be the highest density, tallest building along the length of Highway 10 in all of Ontario. The second biggest one. The next thing I would mention to our planners is, forget that. If you're starting from scratch and all of the land in Ontario, all of the land in Mississauga, on a corridor, and say, here's this development. Where does it appropriately fit along that corridor? As I said about the question, I put it at Burnhamthorpe and Highway 10 in a heart. Might I put it at the 403 in Highway 10? Might make sense. Might I put it at Avery 10 in Highway 10? Might make sense. I've just told you I would put it in Cooksville. The second we get beyond those corridors, it's completely out of context. So the point that I want to make to the staff, and I hope you address in your report, is this. As Mississaugans and someone like me who's born and raised in Richmond for 51 years, in terms of the hierarchy of the city that we've always respected, if the downtown core is the downtown core, if the next nodes are close to the south, then the Edmonton area to the north, I get that. If the next logical move after Cooksville is the waterfront, what are you doing with this TP? Not even the QEW and Highway 10, it's mid-block between the QEW and the Queensway. There's another fundamental problem with the site. I didn't speak to it in the follow-up report. The site is an island. Unlike Highway 5 and 10, where it might prompt development if you develop around it, we're all aware that their biggest land owner adjacent to them is the hospital. It's not going anywhere. So it's not as though this can engender other development time, but it is quite the community on that side of the world. The other big landowners, by the way, is the funeral home. Given my own demographics, I don't think the funeral home is going anywhere. Under our zoning, as you just heard, they're not easy to be signed. So at the end of the day, for a whole host of planning reasons, I think my constituents have other more important reasons, this thing is a non-starter from the word go. So I could never possibly support it. I see the merits of aesthetic design, and they put a lot of effort into it. They make two horrible mistakes. In the short term, it's in the wrong location, and in the longer term, it's 20, 30, 40 years ahead of its time. My great-granddaughter might be the counselor on the Cleveland someday here. But today, it is incredibly premature. But those are all of my comments on looking at it, trying to be criteria and rationale. I don't want to believe it more than that. I'm sure I've spoken for a lot of the community. We've had a focus group in the community. I think the regular president is going to come forward. I think they articulate it better than not. Knowing that staff is going to take all these comments
Good evening. My name is Sharon Giroux. I live at 69 Harborne Road in the Gordon Woods, and I'm the president of the Gordon Woods Homeowners Association. However, tonight, as you can see, we've actually managed to bring in a whole lot of other people, not just the Gordon Woods, which happens to be one of the smallest homeowners associations in Marinette, but presidents from other homeowners associations, the Marinette secretary, and our neighbors within the whole special site where, in fact, Gordon Woods is situated, and the new Cooksville plan has expanded and gone a little bit further. So I'd like to acknowledge not only Madam Mayor, Mr. Chair, our councillors, but my friends and neighbors who chose to show up as well. Thank you. Here we go. So Gordon Woods, what's our position? I wanted to be very clear at the outset what we're for and what we're against. Because we are a very unique place in Mississauga as one of the few urban forests, obviously one of the things we're for is environmental stewardship. It's not just environmental protection, it's stewardship. And I'll touch on it a little bit more as we see what the city of Mississauga is looking forward to in its own stewardship. We're for the development to the official plan and the appropriate densities. And as I looked over the city's corporate report, in fact, they're citing it as well, and I may touch on a number of their points. We're for community development and neighborhood character, and we trust in the expertise of the city staff reports because, after all, as taxpayers, we've paid a lot of money to have these wonderful experts really create the character of Mississauga. And why would we discard that? We're obviously for the protection of the special site status and for the wildlife habitat and the mature tree canopy. And for the city of Mississauga, mature tree canopy is approximately 3%. A great number of it, of those mature trees, exist in Gordon Woods. What are we against? Obviously, the over-intensification in terms of height and densities, traffic, noise, pollution. All natural as our city grows, I understand that, within reason. We're against the impact on vegetation and wildlife, and we are against developers redefining our neighborhood boundaries and character for financial return. Who are we in Gordon Woods? We're residential woodland, according to the Mississauga Plan and the Natural Areas Survey. We've got well-established single-family home development. And I've written since 1922, but in fact, that area has been subdivided from a large lot status. We have large lot characters, and the tree preservation has a 90-year history. Several of our homes have second and third generation original families who are living there. The Cooksville District Plan was approved in July of 2012 with the recommendation that the Gordon Woods special site policy be maintained and, in fact, expanded. What are we seeing in Gordon Woods right now? Because it's large lot, we have the luxury of having some stunning homes. This is one of the newest ones by David Small, and you can see he took a large lot, tore down a home that was probably not as usable for many families, and created an absolutely gorgeous home, by the way, within the bylaws and the requirements, thanks to building staff. He actually respected the residential woodland requirements. Before you, I have the Natural Heritage and Urban Forest Strategy. You can see by this red arrow, this is Gordon Woods, right here. So if you look at the entire city of Mississauga, the intense urban forest exists right here. Just having a little technical difficulties. Here we go. This actually comes from the city's website in terms of protecting the city's environmental heritage. There are ecological benefits, which include air pollution removal, shade, temperature. Probably one of the more important things that the city is facing right now, which is the stormwater and where it goes. Gordon Woods is a huge catch basin because we have basically open lots, and it's very natural for us to actually absorb all that rainwater. Improved outdoor recreational opportunities, mental health and well-being. Please note we are very close to the hospital and one of the most highly walked neighborhoods in the city, not just by our residents, but by those condos to the east of us when they want to take an evening walk in a bucolic setting, by the hospital staff and the doctors who need a little bit of stress alleviation. It's an aesthetically pleasing community. We want to share that. This is where our stewardship comes in. It's a natural area. We have documented well over 200 bird species, many of them rare, that come up and down and live in the Gordon Woods area. We have fox, raccoons, squirrels, deer, a tremendous number of natural wildlife that continue to exist as a result of living in a beautifully forested area. And we want to continue with that stewardship. Unfortunately, the developer has mentioned that Grange is in a transition area, that Grange Road is actually not part of Gordon Woods. He's redefining the boundaries for us. And we're here to say that, in fact, Grange is part of it, that you can see the deer and the forest that exist. In fact, many of the trees, unfortunately, on that new site have been cut down. Is he allowed to? Sure. he can do for a year on four lots on Grange and then the lots on here, Ontario. You can do the math and imagine how many large trees over 50 centimeters in diameter that are distinctive have been cut down. What's the site history? There have been active examinations of the area done by the city. You've got the reports, it's part of the official plan. Cooksville, fortunately, has actually been approved. So you all know what the situation is like and what the site is. In fact, the look was, let's expand it to even more. Let's go beyond certain boundaries and actually get to Heartland, which is basically the beginning of the golf course. What's a synopsis of what I'm looking at right now? The developer is requesting a substantial change in the density and the land use. It's not a minor change. We're talking about four lots on Grange, all of a sudden, 20 townhomes. It's a little misleading when you start to look at it. In fact, he's showing some really lovely photographs, but there aren't any cars in the picture. It's everybody riding their bike and walking along. But we've got 579 units at 1.5 cars per unit. Let's call it 750 cars in and out of one driveway, in and out of one entrance and egress on here, Ontario. And that seems like an awful lot of cars to me when you think of our entire neighborhood with 650 households. It's really not in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. We have height concerns. It's in conflict with the plans. And the traffic issues as they stand now are very difficult for us. The directions report that came out for June 2012 indicates the new development, the scale and character in the natural environment. But push comes to shove, really what we're looking at. What are really the constraints that exist? The constraints for the developer is the special site status, which we want to respect. The townhome accommodation, which he really likes to make reference to, there's a bit of a misconception around it. That property was interestingly owned by the same group, let's say, was left derelict. So as a concession, our neighborhood decided that rather than allow it to continue to collect garbage because it was uncared for, perhaps purposefully, we decided to allow more homes. Our concession was not simply the townhomes, but that there was a single family residence at the end of those townhomes that acted as a buffer to the remaining street homes. So now that individual who has paid a premium for that single family home will be surrounded. And the value of having that single family home plummets. The LRT intensification justification, as Councillor Ionica said, maybe we'll have it, and maybe we don't. But I'll speak to that in a few minutes. The Raba Plaza that exists right now, which unfortunately I believe we went to the OMB with and we didn't win, has come to pass in that we cannot get in and out of that plaza very easily. It is constantly chock-a-block of illegal loading and unloading, and it's extraordinarily dangerous. We've had some help with it, but it's still quite frustrating. There's also the overshadowing of the forest. We can talk about overshadowing and the privacy for our neighbors, but what we don't know is what two tall towers are going to do to that mature canopy, and whether or not the sunlight that becomes restricted to those mature trees is going to actually impact them. I've outlined the special site from old to new. The city, in their report, has actually gone through this. So I'm not going to belabor this point because I think you can read it in your own time, and I will send my presentation to you tomorrow morning so that you'll have it available. The city has spoke to it. It's the use of repeat designs and all the stuff that really doesn't fit in with the character of the neighborhood. Really what we want to speak about is the street and traffic calming. As I mentioned, this is a highly walked neighborhood. There's some intentionally calmed interior roads where there are barriers to prevent race-throughs from Queensway and Mavis and off the highway, which is part of what keeps it nice and calm. We have a ring road, and I'll speak to that in just a moment. And then we have the Harborne Grange Premium, three roads all meeting at once just before they spit out to here, Ontario, and that plaza. There's parking, speeding, lack of stopping, etc. This is the area in question, if you're not, if you don't know exactly where we are. As you can see, the condos are going to be built in this area right here. This whole area is approximately 650 homes. So 650 versus 579. There's a road that basically services from Mavis, and Councillor Ionica has been a champion for us in terms of ensuring that we don't have quick folks going from Mavis, running right through Stavebank, around Premium Way, and jumping onto the highway. It still happens, let's be clear. But it's not with the same intensity as it has in the past. So the city and the councillor have taken the time and spent the money to change the traffic patterns in order to ensure that this minor road remains a minor road. Now here's the thing. I used to actually live at Mavis and Eglinton and have to get on the highway. And I would shoot down Mavis. And if I had to make a left on the Queensway and then a right on 10 and hit, did I say 750 cars trying to go to work in the morning to get onto the highway? I'd probably jump on this road. And now we've created another problem after all of that hard work. Here's a couple of pictures of the street and traffic congestion today. I just took two. Premium Way and Harborne Roads, you can actually see that there are tow trucks parking and lots of other folks just decide to dump their cars there. And here we actually have a truck that decides to park beyond the stop sign, which makes it next to impossible for folks to make the right. You can see all these cars coming out of the plaza, and here Ontario right here. That's without the 750 additional cars. What's tomorrow going to look like? This is a picture from Front Street looking south towards the Gardiner Expressway down Spadina. And if we can just imagine the intensification of all of those condos, and they have an LRT, it's called a streetcar right now, that's running. They have three lanes. I believe here Ontario is going to end up being two. And don't forget, we're going to have to find a way to cross over. So that means legal U-turns. So that means taking up another lane. This is the future, if this is permitted. So let's talk about the LRT recommended densities. In fact, last week, the Director for Transportation, Infrastructure, and Planning confirmed that extreme density is not required along the 10 corridor, that most of the OP calls for low or mid-rise development. In fact, we don't have to build it and they'll come. We're already ready for it. We don't need to build anything more. And here's actually what the LRT reports are showing in terms of recommended transitions. At this actual hospital corridor area, it shows here Ontario Street right here. On the east side, the condo community, because that's what it is. It's a community of condos with entrances and egresses, not just onto here Ontario, but Shirobee and a number of other roads in the back. There are multiple ways for folks to get in and out, not just here Ontario. In this case, what they're looking at is, oh, look at that, six stories. Isn't that what's on the official plan? So even the LRT is making recommendations that we stick with the plan. Are we NIMBY? Absolutely not. We are encouraging development of the area, but we want to keep it in keeping with the current zoning in terms of heights and densities. We'd like to see these abandoned properties because this seems to be the ploy. Let's run down the properties to force the neighbors that to be desperate enough that something is better than nothing. You know what? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We did it once. Those townhomes are not a gateway to additional townhomes. We'd like to see the area cleaned up, and that doesn't mean cutting down more of those mature trees. We support the six-story office designation, and we also encourage the appropriate storefront retail. The city has paid a lot of money for experts and reports and has hired some extraordinary city staff, and we'd actually like them to be listened to, as well as the residents and the community. There's all this mention about growth, and here's how I'll finish. Growth is great, but think about steroids. Steroids is all about growth, And if you don't have heed for the consequences and the side effects of those steroids, it's going to be a much bigger problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
that's not the end. We really do have to depend. Whatever the provision is at the end of the day to make development in this area, there is noise exceptions allowed for this development. The other concern that we have is associated with commercial store development. There is a proposal for commercial stores and bars and restaurants. But as Mayor, you mentioned, right now, we are looking for 800 meters setback for residential area. Now, they're proposing to put the restaurant across the road from our building, which is something that we're really concerned about. Additionally, the other issues with the noise, the way they're proposing to do with additional lighting on the sixth floor and on the main open area for outdoor activity, our concern again is the noise and control of the noise in the late hours or after hours when we are trying to get some rest in our community across the road. And the last point I'd like to make associated with the proposed building design, if you look back on our photo of the area, I want us to remind that the builder, when he was referencing the buildings in the area in his presentation, he was actually referencing the building that is on Shirley Street. He was not referencing the building that are right on your area. Across from our building, which is located right here, it's a 12-story building. So now, if you take into account that they're proposing to build a 36-story tower, which is tapering towards here, Ontario, so a footprint of 600 square feet is small, but if you look at the proposal, the building needs to actually expand and grow, leaning towards our development, and one of the things that we have a concern is safety, looking for our building that may be possible one day. Plus, keeping in mind we have a lot of issues with glass going on in downtown Toronto area in the development. Who doesn't say that we may have the same issues with this development if it does go ahead? So, and the last thing I want to bring here, this view, just to support
intensification to a whole new street. school accommodation, I know lots of times we look at applications that talk about school accommodation, but if you look at the figures in the report, there is absolutely no capacity whatsoever now or into the future. Transition, there is no transition, none whatsoever. It's like something has been parachuted in that's completely and totally foreign and unseen into an existing community. I guess what bothers me the most, and I've said it many times before, you've got a plan, you've got an official plan that is just almost brand new. This is even close, not even close to even resemble what the vision is for this particular area. So I don't think I've ever seen an application so blatantly appalling in my view. And it bothers me that applicants buy properties, look at what is proposed in the old plan and what has just been recently renewed, and then would come with the audacity to come before this council, this planning committee, and to the community with something this appalling.
Developers have a new complete interpretation of intensification, and that is all over the place. And we have dealt with intensification very comfortably, in my opinion. And intensification has got to be in the right location, simple as that, based on certain criteria. So they're not looking at it. And please, do not use the MRT as justification for putting intensification along Pure Ontario Street anyway, because that is not the role of the MRT. First of all, we have no idea when the MRT will be built. Absolutely none. We don't even know if it's not funded, and it's not under design yet. It's being looked at from a concept plan. And in fact, there's opposition to it that is built for the MRT. So please don't base, I say to the developers, please don't base your development on the LRT. Yes, we're going ahead with it, and so, but we have no idea whether it will ever be funded at this point. So that is another thing. Secondly, I want you to know that the LRT, members of council, is not in our development plan. It's not in our development plan. So, if developers could get approval now, they would be paying a levy, a capital levy that does not include the LRT. So that's a very important point. I look at it from a financial point of view, that is not possible. I only wish we had more Gordon Woods areas in our city. And I'll tell you why. I visit companies, large and small. Economic development keeps me busy. And I say to the president of the head, where do you live? Oakland. So we need more board which is developed in Mississauga to keep the heads of the Fortune 63 and Fortune 500 head offices in our city, right here in our city. But they choose Oakville in many cases. I think some of you counselors have heard that actually visited those centers. So we need more areas for important ones, and yet we must look after those people, families that need medium-priced houses and medium-priced condominiums, etc. And what we try to do with this profile is balance our housing needs of our citizens. But for some unknown reason, the developers feel that because the province has mentioned intensification, which they have through the book. But they also have recognized that it's not to be all over the place. Even the province, and sometimes we don't give them much credit at the times, but they did. Then we dealt with the book. And as Township Owen says, we just adopted a plan of acknowledgement meeting for the bookstore. And a developer has evolved. Because to come along doesn't even fit in a load. That is not a load, happens to be between Elizabeth and Cookstown. Interchange between Ontario and Dundas. Right on the middle. And it looks so out of place, a 36-story development, apartment, condo, would look so out of place. So I agree with Councillor Unita. It's wrong location, and as Councillor Coleman said, terrible location. And we're not against intensification as a city. We've always said, in the right location. And this is not the right location, as simple as that. And I think members of council are going to have to be very concerned about this LRT getting developers excited about what's going to happen in their territory. We have no idea what it's going to be. It would be 25 years down because there's no funding. So, and it's not in our development budget. It has not been put in our development budget. So any developments approved now along here on Jericho Street are intensification. The cost of building the LRT, which we're going to have to pick up a major share of, if we get the federal funding, we will be picking up 1/3 of 1.2 billion cost estimated to date of building the LRT. And it's not in our capital budget. So, for so many reasons, I think you have to run them all access. You name it, it just isn't the right location, folks. Simple.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'd like to thank Councillor Unita for his, as always, pragmatic intelligence. Thank you. I think you outlined the case perfectly. I'd also like to thank the residents for their passion and their determination to come to council this evening and make their wishes known. I'd also like to thank my residents from Ward 1 that came out to support Gordon Lewis. I think we all need to support each other on these types of developments, and we're going to need to support each other as we move forward. Because clearly, this is now going to be a pattern. When I was reviewing my binder and I looked at this, I could not believe it. Of all the time that I've been looking at planning applications like waiting for an elected representative, I actually had to drive up to the site and think, is this like true? I have never seen such a good-looking building in such a bad location. Never seen it. And I still could not believe it. So my recommendation to the proponent would be, keep your set of drawings, got a really great looking building, and someday you might find a good site to put it in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As one of the downtown councillors, Councillor Eagle being the other, the first thing I asked Councillor Eagle was, I didn't really change the boundaries of the city center. I looked at this application, was quite shocked myself as well, and I can tell you, Councillor Eagle has worked extremely hard on behalf of the Gordon Woods community for the 24 years that he's represented the area. And I know he's worked diligently to ensure that there's policies put in place as we struggle with the Places to Grow Act and policies that came with intensification to ensure that Gordon Woods, as best as possible, would be preserved and protected within our new official plan. And I commend you for that, Councillor Eagle. You've always spoken very passionately. I know myself as being a cultural voice and quite familiar with the Gordon Woods. Myself, I think it truly is a wonderful community jewel within our city. And it's interesting, Madam Mayor, who was in the LRT, and one of the deputies spoke passionately about the LRT. In fact, your neighborhood, well, right now, in the city of Mississauga, we have enough density to support an LRT. In fact, we have more ridership than many municipalities and cities in the United States that have it. So we don't need more. I know Councillor Eagle spoke about the urban nodes, such as what Councillor Cromie and the rest of the council referred to as uptown Mississauga meeting within the Ontario, and also spoke about downtown Mississauga meeting here in Ontario and in Burnham. I can tell you, if this was ever done, we'd have uptown downtown, what the hell's happening?
Councilor Grandi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too see many friends in the audience and have the opportunity to visit this beautiful neighborhood many, many times. I just wanted to congratulate the two deputants, Sharon and Russner. Excellent presentations, and you really represented your community and your community's views very well. You really articulated the very well spoken, very professional. All of your presentation didn't repeat each other. It's just excellent. I just have one word for the proposed development. Exclusive. We've really gone too far. It's a beautiful building, but not on that parcel of land and not on that location. So I want to just echo what everyone else has said. Great plan. Let's just move it somewhere where it's appropriate, because it's not appropriate here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great granddaughter being on council. We have to do the planning now for the future generations. The planning now is going to require us to look at these kind of developments and figure out where they should go to encourage developers to come forward with these kinds of beautiful projects and work together with them to put them in the right place. We're simply ignoring the realities of our future if we don't do that. Secondly, we have to make sure that the technical questions are answered by proper planning information and proper information from officials. So there have been a lot of questions that put out there today. I'd like to know the answer to them. I'd like to know about whether or not there's going to be any impact on the incredibly important forest canopy. I don't know the answer to that. We can't speculate about those things. We have to do proper studies of them. The traffic issue, I'd like to know the answer to that too. I'd like to know what we're doing about the existing traffic problem and how we're going to deal with future problems with this kind of development and other development we're going to have up and down in Ontario. So let's be careful about some of the hyperbole about this being appalling and about it being ridiculous and that sort of thing. It's a great looking development. There's some serious questions that have been asked. Let's see what the answers to those questions are. And let's continue to work with developers because we're going to need this kind of high-quality development for the city to grow. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, committee members, Councilor Trump. One of the things that... Fred Waller, I'm at 70 Veronica Drive. I want to echo what Mr. Knight said. First of all, I know David McMillan is responsible for this development. And he's a person that's very sensitive to neighborhood and aesthetics, etc. You're correct, I'm not sure of the location, etc., but one of the things we do have to do, I think, in the city is encourage innovative designers. I mean, this design itself, in terms of it's got a lovely gateway, it's got a lovely mixed use. It's very thoughtful in the architecture that that's put in place. It would be a great city street development. And I guess what I'm saying at the end of the day is you do have to narrow the road loading. This could be, we should encourage actually a little more organic and a little classy and a little bit of touch. So I think one of the things is to encourage developers such as Mr. McCollum to bring developments to the society.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm Alan Campbell. I'm at 43 Harbor Road, which is right at the corner of Grange Harbor and Ontario. I've had the great pleasure over many years to be involved in terms of the city and working with David Kell, mostly in the past, and then more recently. I have a lot of experience and association with the development of the zoning in our particular area. An awful lot of work went into that, and cooperation, and communication, and meetings. I think it's well done. It's been reinforced in terms of the recent developments, in terms of that area, and the policies that we want to bring forward. I fully support all the comments that have been made by the councillors, and it is extremely heartwarming to hear and to see the vision that you have and the credibility with which you look at this particular application. The last two people who spoke is really why I've come forth and speak, because I have nothing further to add to the extra points that have been said prior to that. I fully believe that the developer looks at things backwards in the plan. They're purchasing properties, and then they're trying to force their perspectives on that particular property, rather than what Nando had already given them three examples of ideal places within Mississauga where their exquisitely futuristic design would fit. So when they say that growth should be encouraged, I think it's up to them to take a step forward and come to the city and council and say, This is what we see as an outstanding opportunity for the city for growth. Where do you suggest we look to accumulating that property and moving forward and working together to develop that? I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Seeing all the speakers,
yes. I'd like to address the third gentleman who came forward, which asked a lot of questions about the development. I can assure you, we work with developers. In fact, sometimes in the city, we work too much with developers to try to grow the city, And so I just want to assure you, and all the technical questions professional reports that will support it. And I don't think anybody around the council chambers tonight said that it is not a good development plan, but in the wrong location. That's all. It is. I think it's quite attractive. It's got a lot of things in it that I would like to see in developments in other areas, but in the right location. And that's all we're saying. You know, we worked to get the Maryland Monroe building and the developer came forward in the right location, in the city core, which we are encouraging intensification. But at the same time, our intensification plan protects neighborhoods as well, instead of infringing on them and parachuting in intensification that's going to have an impact on the community. So I want to assure you that we work with developers. In fact, if you want to talk to some of the developers, like Parker and Cadillac Fairview and Aaron Mills, that have built thousands of houses and development in the city, we do work with them. But they have to justify their development in the right location in the city. And I think I said about the LRT, that we have no, absolutely no idea when it's going to be built, because there's no funding for it that's been approved either by the federal, provincial government. And we don't know whether it will be approved for development. And by the way, we have to go through a very intense process to even build the environmental assessment, public consultation with the public, and as I say, as we're not up on public consultation, there is objection to it. So it's a long way before it becomes a reality. So we cannot, at this point, approve development along Huron Terrier Street because the LRT is coming, because we have no idea when it's coming. So I just want to assure the gentleman that spoke that we go through a very thorough process on all development. Traffic reports analyzed, peer reviews, you name it. And, of course, consultation with the public. So I just want to assure you, we brought a 500,000 people into Mississauga. Our population in 1978, when I became mayor, was 260,000. It's now 740,000. We brought 500,000 people into this city, and I think they're reasonably happy with what we did. We want to continue to keep them happy with intensification, and that's what we're doing, in the right location. And the development, we're not condemning the buildings. I think the building is quite attractive. Somewhat more attractive than some of the buildings we had, by the way. That is not the issue tonight. The issue is, where should it be? And if the developer wants to work with the city, with our planning staff, there are locations that that development could occur.
Starting friends to his journey. One of the key ones about this kind of remarkable that I've been used many individual pages, including people from Toronto, that think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's all support, all in support. But as I said, I don't think there's more than four that can see the site from my ward or living monitor. The rest are quite far in the field, and the birds don't have to see. So I find that a little perplexing, but having said that, I'm in receipt of all the decadents, I'm in receipt of the presentations, I'm in receipt of all the correspondence, with the report to come back with my commitment that I'll be taking that report to the community. It'll come back here to another planning and development committee meeting before it goes to a council. My thanks to my colleagues for your comments and support as well as that. For that, I approve that motion, Mr. Chair.
You heard the motion. All in favor? Carried. Thanks very much to the audience for being so patient.